live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 26th day of May 2026. I am so absolutely thrilled to have a returning guest today. His name is Dr. David A. Harrell. He's an author and senior pastor and teacher at Calvary Bible Church in Jolton, Tennessee, and we are going to be addressing today the theme of one of his books, God, Evil, and Suffering, Understanding God's Role in Tragedies and Atrocities. We're also going to be announcing Dr. David A. Harrell's speaking engagement at the next biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon in Loysville, Pennsylvania, on October 1st. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. David A. Harrell.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's my honor to be with you once again.
And if you could please, once again, describe the church where you are serving as an under-shepherd, as senior pastor and teacher, Calvary Bible Church of Jolton, Tennessee.
Yes, we are an independent Bible church with a robust Reformed soteriology. We actually exist about 20 miles or so outside of downtown Nashville, and we're basically a commuter church rather than a community church because so many of our people commute to the church rather than live in kind of the rural area in where we are. But it's a wonderful group of people that dearly love Christ, and it's been my honor and my privilege to be their pastor from the beginning. I've been there roughly going on 32 years now, and so it's a real joy to serve Christ. And what's amazing is when you're an older pastor and you've been there a long time, I'm now marrying young people that I saw come into the world.
Wow.
And that's an exciting thing. So.
Amen. And it's a rare thing for a pastor to be in one church that many years, and it's always a joy to hear that there are men of God such as yourself that have stuck it out for decades in one congregation.
Well, we certainly give God the glory, and he's taught me much while I've been there, and God has just blessed our church, and we rejoice in that. And we're very committed to expository preaching. John MacArthur was my friend and mentor, and I was on the Bible faculty out there for a while to help them get their biblical counseling program up back in the mid 90s. And so that's kind of my roots. And in fact, we still have a lot of people moving from California. We call them refugees, you know, they're moving from California to Tennessee. And we have a number of people from Grace Community Church that are a part of our church now. So it's just fun to see God's providence work in ways that you never expect.
Amen. If anybody would like to find out more about Calvary Bible Church of Jolton, Tennessee, you can visit their website, cbctn.org, cbctn.org. Well, what we are discussing today is really one of the most important topics that exists within the Christian faith. It is a topic, it's known as the theodicy, a defense or vindication of a good God who rules over a world filled with evil and tragedy. And there are many people who claim that they don't believe that that kind of a God could exist. They will use this as an excuse for remaining an atheist or an agnostic, or at least they'll use that as an excuse of their refusal to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and follow him and become his disciple. And it is even an issue, the answer to the question, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world if God is good? The answer to that question has even divided Bible-believing Christians. Those who are Reformed will typically answer that question in a very different way than those who are not Reformed. But first of all, why don't you tell us what led you to first write this book? Because there are a number of books that have been in print, some of them for centuries, some of them more recent in the 20th and 21st century, even by wonderful and solid authors. I can think of two books, for instance, that I have given away many, many, many times over the years to people going through a suffering in their life, some kind of a painful trial. I have given them Surprised by Suffering by R.C. Sproul. And I have also given away very often Trusting God Even When Life Hurts. And I don't know why the author's name is escaping me right now. I interviewed him at least twice on my show. He's in heaven now with the Lord. Jerry Bridges.
Jerry Bridges, right.
Yeah, Trusting. And they've updated the book to just having the title Trusting God. I prefer the original title, Trusting God Even When Life Hurts. But what made you come to the point where, you know, there are books out there, but I've got something to say that is not quite addressed in those existing books, and I think that there needs to be another one on the shelves of Christian libraries.
Well, brother, it's not so much that I thought the others left things out, and you're right, there are great works that are out there, but quite frankly, what I wanted to do with this book is write it in a very succinct way in a small book that I could give to people that wouldn't be intimidating to them, that would essentially summarize some of the great truths that I believe are essential to answering issues pertaining to theodicy. I mean, most people don't even know what that word means, and that's fine. But in fact, this book is only 85 pages. It's a small book. I've written 8 small ones. I kind of call them mini books. They're in a series, compact expository pulpit commentary series. And they're on various issues that I've run across on a regular basis with people that I've counseled. For 10 years prior to coming into the pastorate, I was in biblical counseling and working especially with highly visible Christian leaders, and I was doing seminars and all those things, and I found that there are certain topics that people don't understand, and rather than giving them a large book and having them read it, I've come up with some smaller ones that kind of summarize these things. And I really think you could probably take this book and put it in your back pocket of your blue jeans, you know, so it's about that size.
It sounds like the ideal book for churches to stock,
exactly.
To stock up in their lobbies, or as some churches call them, their narthex, where they have tracked racks and other things that they give away. This sounds like the ideal kind of a book.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are doing, and they're also great for home fellowship groups, Sunday school classes, you know, that type of thing. And so I would humbly say that there are others who have treated this much more eloquently and much more exhaustively. And so I really stand on their shoulders. But the purpose in writing this book was to essentially give a brief overview and an understanding with people, or to people that might be overwhelmed. I mean, the very topic itself can be overwhelming to a lot of people. And I certainly don't want to be divisive in it. And I know there are people that would differ with me. My Arminian brothers and sisters will tend to disagree. But anyway, so that's why I wrote the book.
And when someone approaches you, as I'm sure in your decades of pastoral ministry, and perhaps even before you became a pastor, just living life as a ordinary born-again believer in Christ, I'm sure you have encountered many folks, as I have, even though I am not a pastor, I have encountered many folks who immediately will throw that in your face, very often, not as a humble inquirer who is truly seeking truth about God in a world filled with evil and suffering. And sometimes that may be the case, but more than not, it's typically people with anger and disgust and even mockery in their voice. And how could you believe in a good God when we see everywhere around us evil and suffering? Every day on the news we see it. Everybody that I know has some kind of tragedy in their life, with a loved one at least who is suffering, if they are not themselves suffering. So what are the basic truths that you will walk someone through when challenged with that?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I've run across this countless times, and you tend to see people either attack or try to rescue the character of God for allowing evil to enter into his perfect creation for reasons, frankly, he never discloses. In fact, God makes no attempt to justify his actions, nor is he subject to any human court, although man tends to put him on trial, you know, by using principles of justice based upon his own fallen desires and wisdom, and rather than the principles that God has laid out in his word. And so, you know, when people attack God like that, I always want to respond very graciously and say that I can understand your frustration, because it is a difficult thing to understand. But I believe God has revealed to us in his word the answer to that question. But in order for you to understand what he has to say, there has to be a humbling of your heart to hear him. And if you're beginning with, you know, shaking your fist in his face, you're probably not going to respond well. Of course, in the back of my mind, I know, and you know, that, you know, to the natural man, the things of the spirit are foolishness, and he cannot understand them because he's spiritually discerned, and he can't grasp these things until he's born again. But I always want to tell them in a very kind way that I believe God has revealed in His Word that He has, because He is sovereign and over all things, and because He is omniscient, meaning He knows all things, and because He is all powerful as well, then therefore God has ordained to allow evil to enter into His perfect universe in order to dramatically display His glory. And that kind of shocks people, but, well, how does He do that? Well, He does that by demonstrating in a very dramatic way His wrath, His justice, His love, His mercy, His redemption, all of those things that we see in His character are put on display because of the fact that He ordained evil to enter into His perfect universe. And of course, I always point out the most dramatic example of that is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest evil of all was perpetrated upon Him. And yet we see that, as Peter said, that this man delivered up, he was delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. And Peter and John even say in Acts 4, in verse 27, "For truly in this city there would gather together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel." And then he says this, "to your hand and your purpose predestined to occur." Now, while I won't all of the details of those things, I would at least like to offer that as an example. And of course, there are many others in Scripture. And so to answer your question, it is something along that line that I typically use to engage them. But I always want to use that as a springboard to the bigger issue, and that is the gospel. Do you know and do you love Christ? And do you submit to His lordship, to His word, et cetera, et cetera? And of course, typically with the angry person shaking their fist in God's face, the answer is no.
Amen. And one of the significant things that separates even Christians, the Reformed from the non-Reformed, the anti-Calvinist, is the belief among the non-Reformed that there is purposeless evil that continues to rage in this world. And for some reason that I don't understand, and perhaps never will understand this side of glory, they seem to find more comfort, or at least they say they do, find more comfort in believing that the person that they know and love who is either is ravaged with cancer or hit by a car and killed, or the little child who develops leukemia and dies, or perhaps is even aborted in the womb of a loved one after days and perhaps up to the final hours of pleading with the person not to murder that unborn baby, and they go through with it. They seem to hold on to an idea that God is completely separate from these things, and therefore it is purposeless, really. And in fact, I can remember how upset I was. I was the only Calvinist that worked for a major radio station in New York City. And right after 9/11 occurred, one of the worst tragedies on American soil in our history as a nation, the station began airing vignettes, if you will, brief messages by pastors all over the tri-state area of New York who are seeking to give comfort and hope to the listeners. And there were actually some pastors saying on the air, "Don't you believe the lie of the devil that God had anything to do with this?" And I remember being utterly dismayed and shocked hearing this, and even more disappointed that the radio station would air those messages. But if you could, isn't this such an unbiblical worldview that in no way could truly give the heart of a Christian peace and joy, even if they claim it does?
Right. I don't find that to be helpful, primarily because it's at loggerheads with what Scripture teaches. And a lot of times people don't really want to look at the many passages that would refute that. I mean, at a most fundamental level, they are denying not only the sovereignty of God, but the omniscience of God and the omnipotence of God, that somehow there are things that are random in the universe. When, in fact, as you look at the various passages of Scripture, you see just the opposite. I mean, there are so many passages that describe God's absolute and total rule over everything. There is not a random rogue molecule that exists. And if there was, then he wouldn't be the God that he is and the God of the Bible. To say that all of these things are purposeless or without purpose is contrary to what Scripture teaches. But also, I personally and many others do not find comfort in that, because what else is random out there? What else is outside of God's control? What else in this evil world is beyond hope, beyond rescue, beyond redemption? I mean, do we really have a God that is just responding to things? Because essentially, I've got some Armenian brothers and sisters who hold that position, that basically God merely allows the possibility for evil to exist because he's got to give his creatures freedom of choice and thereby guaranteeing that man's choices are always meaningful. And so they would argue that God doesn't ordain or in any way cause sin to come into existence, and he's not responsible for evil or for suffering. He just responds to these things, rather than understanding that while God never directly acts wickedly, nor does he take pleasure in evil. We see in Scripture that he indirectly brings it about through individuals who voluntarily exercise their own will and are thereby held accountable for their actions. And we see that he has once again ordained to allow these things to happen. And they happen through the voluntary choices of moral creatures in order, as I say, to display his glory through his holiness, his wrath, mercy, grace, love, power, etc. And when you look at evil out there, I mean, there's so many different types of evil. Typically, if I can remember some of my theology here, there's natural evil, which is just, you know, decay and death and sickness and viruses and volcanoes, right? I mean, there's calamity. This world is filled with natural evil. Well, why is that? Is that outside of God's sovereign control? Is that just happening? And then, of course, there's moral evil that is personal. Shall we say it's internal, it's spiritual evil, just the wickedness in man's heart. I think of Romans 3:12. It says that there is none who does good. There is not even one. And then beyond that, there is supernatural evil. I mean, John tells us that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And then finally, we would say that there's eternal evil in hell. And so the question is, since evil exists and since God exists, is he not sovereign over those things? Or are all of those things just happening outside of the realm of his decree and the realm of his superintendence, out of the realm of his divine providence? And if so, my goodness, what kind of God is that? And so I personally do not find comfort in that other argument that you just mentioned. For that reason, but also because Scripture just refutes that, I humbly believe, in many places.
And we have to go to our first commercial break right now. And if you have a question of your own for Dr. David A. Harrell, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S. ARNZEN@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And a topic like this, it's a no-brainer that we may be evoking people to send in very personal and private questions whenever you're talking about suffering and tragedy. There may be very well people listening who are going through a painful trial, or they have a very close loved one or friend or family member that is suffering in some way and they don't want to identify themselves. We understand that those kinds of personal issues, you'd like to remain anonymous. But if it's just a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We are going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Dr. David A. Harrell. He's an author and senior pastor and teacher at Calvary Bible Church of Joelton, Tennessee, and we are addressing the theme of one of his books, God, Evil, and Suffering, Understanding God's Role in Tragedies and Atrocities. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. Before I go to a listener question, I would like you to describe the book you have written. We've already had you on the show to do a full 2-hour interview with you on it, but it's been a while. And it's also going to be the theme of your keynote address at my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon on Thursday, October 1st, and that is Why America Hates Biblical Christianity. If you could describe that theme to whet the appetites of our listeners who may want to attend that pastor's luncheon.
Okay, yeah. The subtitle of that book is Pursuing Christ-likeness in Times of Mounting Hostility and Apathy. And essentially, what I do there is I cover the Christian's allegiance, the Christian's affection, the Christian's authority, the Christian's assembly, the Christian's adversary, the Christian's assurance, the Christian's ambition, and the Christian's aspiration. Essentially, what I'm trying to do in that book is explain what's really going on in the world, the greatest of all conspiracy theories, so to speak, and that is the battle between Satan's kingdom and our Lord's kingdom. And we have two enemies, essentially. We have Satan and his minions, along with our own flesh. And we have to see how those things play out together. And they especially play out in the context of culture and politics. And I just explain, look, here's what's going on politically and therefore theologically. And here's how I believe God would have us respond to those things.
And if anybody who is a man in ministry leadership, whether you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, parachurch ministry leader, even a businessman making a firm stand for Christ in the business and corporate world, if you'd like to attend this event, it's free. And the next one is on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And not only is your admission free and your lunch for free and your opportunity to share fellowship with men of God, some of whom will be new acquaintances and some of them may be old friends whose friendship you will be able to rekindle, your opportunity to hear David A. Harrell speak for free. It's all free. On top of all of that, every man will leave that place with one and possibly two heavy sacks of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. It's all free. And these luncheons are held in loving memory and tribute to my precious late wife, Julie, whose brainchild these pastors' luncheons are. We began them back in the 1990s on Long Island, New York. It was all her idea, and she designed them carefully to make sure that pastors would know that they never had to reach for their wallets, or they never had to fear that these luncheons were being conducted with an ulterior, hidden motive. They were to know that this was nothing more than a treat to them in honor of their service to Christ and his people serving in the ministry. And I have conducted them in that way ever since she went home to be with the Lord for eternity. I continue to conduct them exactly the way she designed them. And nobody can ever sell anything at these events. So I hope that you, if you're listening, if you'd like to attend this free event, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Give me your full name, the full name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men who will be joining it. We do have a listener named Jimmy in Gallatin, Tennessee. And Jimmy is asking a question that comes up nearly every single time on my show whenever we are addressing the issue of God's sovereignty over all things. Jimmy says, how do you respond to the person that you cannot believe that God has ultimate control over everything unless you also believe that he is the author of evil?
Mm-hmm. And the answer to that is because he says that he is not the one that causes evil. He is the one that has allowed it to enter the world through the voluntary choices of other people, and there's a big difference there. However, I will say that this whole thing is an inscrutable mystery to us. God does not justify his actions. In fact, there is no scripture passage where God provides a clear explanation of the origin of evil and his purposes in it. You won't find it anywhere. And yet he affirms his goodness and his love on virtually every page of scripture. And I believe the absence of such a defense speaks to his unwillingness, frankly, to stand before the biased bar of fallen human reason and justice. And I would also humbly add that for me, it serves as a rebuke to all who would dare shake their fists in God's face and demand that he defend himself. He just doesn't do that. I mean, who is the pot? Why would the pot ask the potter, you know, why did you make me this way? And so there are no good answers other than what we see in Scripture, that he is in control of all things, and that for his own purposes and for his own glory, he ordained to allow evil to come into the world. And we see passages where he takes full responsibility of that. You know, for example, we see that in the crucifixion of Christ, as I said a little bit earlier. In Isaiah 45, verses 6 and 7, he speaks of that. At the end, it says, he is the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I, the Lord, who does all these things. And Jeremiah the prophet lamented in Lamentations 3:38, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? The prophet Amos says, if a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? And you just see examples of this. And, you know, in the life of Joseph, you'll recall, as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive and so forth. And of course, Romans 9 especially addresses that issue, and I cover that in the book. So, you know, again, there are no easy answers, and frankly, I've got, even right now, family members fighting cancer. I lost my dear sister to breast cancer back about 10 years ago, and I've got a number of people in the church with horrible things happening to them, but I can tell you, that I hear from these people saying, look, I want this to go away. I hate this. This is a horrible thing, but I trust God. I know that he's in it. He's always up to something. I trust his sovereign care for me. I know that even by allowing this to happen, it's ultimately for my good and his glory. I can't explain it. I just trust him. And they find great comfort in that. And I find great comfort in that. Rather than trying to deny his sovereignty, which would therefore assume that there are things that just happen randomly, and now all of a sudden we really don't have a God. We certainly don't have the God of the Bible.
Yeah. In fact, I know that some of my listeners may roll their eyes right now because I'm going to read a text of Scripture that I frequently cite on the show in opposition to those who refuse to believe that God has anything to do with atrocities and evil events that occur in history. I will remind them of 2 Samuel 12, where we have Nathan the prophet challenging and rebuking King David, who had not only committed adultery with Bathsheba, but also arranged to have her husband murdered on the battlefield in order to cover up the pregnancy of Bathsheba that David was responsible for. He was the biological father of this child, and he had Uriah the Hittite murdered. And God, speaking through Nathan the prophet, says, in 2 Samuel 12, if you start at verse 10, "Now then, the sword shall never leave your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. This is what the Lord says. Behold, I am going to raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel in an open daylight. And even though God does not have to make men evil, all those who have been born after Adam and Eve have inherited his sin, and God doesn't have to make them evil, but nonetheless, in his sovereignty, when he decrees evil acts to occur, he uses evil men to bring about his purpose. Am I making sense? Am I reaching too far?
That's the biblical. That's what I believe Scripture teaches. It's his permissive providence that operates through second causes, we often say. And if I could give another example, this would include not only the evil propensity in Satan and the angelic beings, but also the actual decree that they would eventually rebel. I mean, that didn't catch God by surprise. He decreed it. And it's interesting. I mean, although all the angelic beings were created originally as very good, as we read in Genesis 1, the New Testament makes it clear that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. You know, he's the father of lies, right? And this means that at some time subsequent to his creation, he, along with the other angels, chose to sin and rebel against God. Now, while in the permissive providence of God, he allowed the ancient serpent to enter his original paradise. We know that from Revelation 12. He also makes it clear that that same serpent and his minions will not be allowed in the final paradise in Revelation 21. So none of that caught God by surprise. He retained his ultimate control to accomplish his eternal purposes. And for this reason, he says of himself in Isaiah 46, 9, I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done. And then John also tells us, if I can finish my argument here as I try to put it together in my mind, he tells us that the devil has sinned from the beginning, referring to the first time that he rebelled against God. But he goes on to add in John 1 John 3:8, that the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And this indicates that even the devil's diabolical works had to have been divinely ordained. Well, why is that? Well, because in Acts 2:23, we read that Christ was delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. So Satan's original rebellion against God and his temptation of Eve in the garden, his temptation of Christ, all of those things, all had to have been known by an omniscient God who also ordained them by his uninfluenced will. And so there are just examples like that that we have to grapple with. And, I stand on holy ground here. I'm not the authority on all of this. And so often in these inscrutable mysteries that are beyond our understanding, we have to humble ourselves and say we can't be sure, but based on what Scripture says, it would seem thus and so. And certainly, I would humble myself whenever I think about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, or the existence of evil with a good and glorious God. These are things beyond my ability to comprehend. Scripture is never clear on any of it, but I humbly trust in a good and a sovereign and a gracious and a holy God. And as soon as you try to explain these things through human reason, you cease to be biblical. And then you begin wandering into a world of, well, what if this and what if that? And I'm very familiar with all of the what ifs. I've been in pastoral ministry for over 40 years. I'm very familiar with death and dying and every kind of atrocity and tragedy you can imagine. And I've seen the difference between people who just kind of hope that this is just random and who knows what God's up to versus those who will say, I trust in a sovereign God who by his grace has allowed this to happen to me for purposes that I do not understand. And they have essentially the same attitude as Job. And you remember when Job demanded an audience with God, God never gave it to him. All he did was intimidate him with his glory for chapter after chapter. And finally, Job said, okay, I get it. And I repent. And so anyway, just a few more thoughts along those lines that may help people as they grapple with these things, as I have tried to do.
We also have a listener named Carl in Glasgow, Kentucky, who has a question. Carl says, one of the most horrible responses that I have heard of to the problem of sin and sickness and hardship comes typically from the Pentecostals and many charismatics, especially in the Word of Faith movement, where they will say a person is guilty of some unspoken or unconfessed sin, and that is the reason that they are suffering with cancer or some other illness. How do you respond to that? Yes, that is a that is a common and horrible response.
Yeah, well, I would always, first of all, say, okay, show me chapter and verse on that, because you're not going to find that. I mean, that is so blatantly unbiblical, it almost doesn't even deserve an answer. But I've heard the same type of thing. And unfortunately, well, you know, Jesus had to deal with that as well. I mean, that's why a lot of people in Jesus' day, a lot of the Jewish people thought that those were people that were suffering with some kind of illness or whatever was because they had some secret sin or some great sin or whatever. And they resented God having mercy on them, because they should have been judged, you know, and all of that type of thing. And I would point those people out to, I mean, there's some good books on that. I mean, certainly John MacArthur has with Strange Fire. That's a great book that addresses some of those things. But again, that is just so wrong. And I've had people come to me out of those circles who are broken hearted because they've been told that the reason your child is suffering the way he or she is because either A, you don't have enough faith, or B, you've got some unconfessed sin in your life. And they're grappling with this, wondering, what am I supposed to do? And of course, the answer is you're supposed to read your Bible and realize that is not at all the answer here. That is frankly a doctrine of demons. And it just leads people astray, and I regret that. But I've heard those same things and had to deal with it on so many occasions. It's heartbreaking to hear it.
Perhaps before we go to the midway break, it would be helpful if you were to exegete Romans 8:28, which is such a powerful passage of hope and comfort and encouragement. And yet, also, I believe it is very often twisted and abused because some either well-meaning Christians or just Christians who are just flat out in error, they are trying to apply this promise of all things working together for the good to anyone, but it's this promise is not for anyone. It's to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. But if you could, if you could exegete that.
Well, you just did.
you
just did. I mean, what else can I say? Yes, the ones that are called are the elect that God has called unto himself, and those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. These are These are the elect of God. And so all things, no matter whether it's good things or bad things or things we don't understand, he's up to something. And we have to trust him in that. And I find great comfort in that, knowing that no matter what comes my way, and I've had very difficult things like in my life like you have, to know that, God, you're doing something. You're at work in my life. You've began a good work in me, and you're going to see it through. And I trust you in this. I don't know what you're up to here, and I certainly wish the sickness or the tragedy or whatever it is would go away. And I plead with you to that end, but I also know that you have purposes in mind for me and for others observing all of this that are so far beyond me. I'm just an old clay pot. I'm not going to ask you for an answer because, number one, you don't owe me an explanation. You are God and I am not. But secondly, I wouldn't be able to understand the answer if you gave it to me. And so I just humble myself before a glorious, transcendent God that is beyond anything I can even remotely comprehend. And so when he says that, Dave, look, all things are going to work together for good, you know, it's ultimately for my good and glory, but it's for his glory now and forever. But it's for the called, it's those that he has called unto himself, that efficacious call, whereby the Spirit of God in the miracle of regeneration brings life to the spiritually dead and causes us to see the horror of our sin and the glory of the cross. And then the Spirit of God comes and imparts spiritual life to us. And the old things pass away, the new things come, we become a new creature in Christ. And by the power of the Spirit, we little by little grow into Christ's likeness, and we humble ourselves before a holy, sovereign God and trust him to do what he will without any demand for an explanation. And I always tell people, when these bad things happen, don't ask why, ask what. God doesn't owe you an explanation. You would never understand it if he gave it to you. But you need to ask what. God, what do I need to do now in the midst of this horror, in the midst of this tragedy, that will honor you and as a result cause me to experience the soul-satisfying joy of your presence in my life, even with my body being racked with cancer? That's the attitude we must have.
And some of the most profound examples of that are the martyrs who had, while being tortured and executed, even burned alive, have even sung hymns of praise to Christ and have remained a perpetual testimony of those who are given the ability by the Holy Spirit to remain faithful to God and even rejoice in the midst of suffering, agony that most of us will never experience. Mm-hmm. It's just a mind-boggling thing that God has left a legacy of this in the body of Christ, that we can be reminded of this even in our day. And there are martyrs even in our day in other parts of the world. We who sit in the comfort of a nation like the United States, at least right now, we are not being inflicted with the harsh cruelty mm-hmm. that exists in the Sudan and other places. But it is a reason to rejoice that we have these things recorded even.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Fox's Book of Martyrs will just make you weep as you read that. My mind, as you were talking, went to Romans 5. In verse 3, we read, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Literally, the idea of because of them, not even in the midst of them, but because of them. Why? And he goes on to say, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us, and so forth. And I've just seen that played out in my life and in the lives of hundreds of people who trust in a sovereign God who is also good and gracious and loving. And we may not experience the fullness of all that is ours in Christ until heaven, but that is coming. That is a promise, an inheritance that is reserved for us and protected by the very power of God. So in that we rejoice with joy inexpressible.
Hallelujah. And we have to go to our midway break right now. And once again, if you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
President of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself. including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureCommGroup.com. That's SecureCommGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And not only does RoyalDiadem.com provide financial support for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every single month automatically, on top of that, they give us the mind-blowing bonus of 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you're purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether you are purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry designed and created by RoyalDiadem.com, like an engagement ring, or like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo, your business logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical, breathtaking, head-turning, stunning piece of jewelry. And I have seen firsthand the mastery that RoyalDiadem.com has over customizing jewelry. So please, if you're in the market for jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio So we will get a gift as well, the gift of 100% of the profits from that sale. That's royaldiadem.com. Before I return to my fascinating conversation with Dr. David A. Harrell, pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Joelton, Tennessee, I have some important reminders for you folks. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is still in very urgent need of your financial support. As many of you know, we lost one of our largest advertisers, a Christian book distributor, that after 50 years of serving the body of Christ with the finest and reformed literature at the most reasonable prices, they had to sadly close their doors permanently several months ago, and we lost one of our largest advertisers and a major sponsor that has expressed interest in sponsoring the show for a year, has delayed their final decision till next month. So we have been set back quite a bit financially. I actually, to be perfectly honest, had to borrow money from a life insurance policy recently in order to pay some urgent bills and in order to attend a trip to Long Island, New York this Thursday. I'm heading out there because of the 30th anniversary of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, who has played an integral role in my own life as a Christian for all 30 of those years that they have existed. So I'm just helping, I'm asking you to help us financially, folks. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, as some people still do, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And with all this urgent talk and pleas for your financial assistance, I never want anybody in my audience to give your own church, where you're a member, less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, please never cut into the financial resources you specifically have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. Leave that money alone and keep it reserved for your Lord's Day giving to your church. And if you personally are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, I don't want to take food off of your dinner table. And I don't want to make life in your home more financially stressful. So wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. But having said that, if you love the show and don't want it to go off the air, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, if you love the show, please share some of that money with us so that we can continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Calvary Bible Church in Joelton, Tennessee, I have helped people in my audience spanning the entire globe find churches that are biblically faithful, and that may even apply to you, no matter where you live in the world. I've helped people recently in Mexico find biblically faithful churches. I've helped people in the United Kingdom, in Australia, in Germany, in Spain, and in all 50 states of the United States, even in Africa, in countries in Africa, I have helped folks find biblically faithful churches. So that may be you too. No matter where you live in the world, if you're not a member of a biblically faithful church home, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I may be able to help you out. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Dr. David A. Harrell as we continue our conversation on one of the most important themes in the Christian faith. And that is also the theme of one of Dr. Harrell's many books that he has written. And the theme is God, evil, and suffering, and understanding God's role in tragedies and atrocities. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. And we have an anonymous listener. And the anonymous listener says, "I can think of no other topic that it seems at times nearly impossible to overcome the grief it creates. And that is the topic of losing a child, especially if that child gave no evidence of faith in Christ before departing this earth. What are your words of comfort to Christians who are the parents of such children?"
Well, if it was a child that was, shall we say, that died before that child could reasonably believe in Christ, then I would say that child is in heaven.
Charles Spurgeon believed that, and so did John MacArthur, and there are great men of God who believe that.
And otherwise, again, we have to trust in a good and a faithful God. And it's always hard because our standard of righteousness and judgment and justice and all of those types of things are going to be hopelessly biased in our own favor, obviously. And everybody's heart goes out to any child that suffers and passes away. And once again, I always come back with the comforting reality that God is a loving, good, and gracious God. While we don't know why he took this child away, and especially if the child was truly an unbelieving child, we can't answer those things, and we shouldn't even try. And so at that point, I always will tell people that we have to trust in God's goodness and in his grace. He is sovereign. He is just in all that he does. And we just have to relax in those great truths.
Yes. And I think that there are a couple of things that people forget or overlook. One of those things is, depends on the situation, how the child dies. But mm-hmm. like, for instance, if a child is in an automobile accident, something like that, where you are not present, you cannot know for certain that that child did not come to a saving faith in Christ before they perished.
That's true.
And that goes with anybody, whether it's your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your spouse. And I've heard Christians too often act as if they know for certain, for instance, that their parent is in hell. And I'll ask them, "Were you with your father when he was on his deathbed, when he died?" "No." "Well, how do you know he's in hell? I mean, he could have come to a conscious saving faith in Christ before departing this earth." And the other thing is that when we are in heaven, we our hearts and minds are going to be in complete harmony with the will of God, will they not? We can know for certain that there will be a day when this heart-crushing agony that we feel is no longer present, and we will shed no more tears, and we will rejoice in the indescribable joy of the being in the presence of Christ. Am I not right?
Yeah, absolutely. We read that he is the one who is able to make us stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. And these heartbreaking scenarios that we all have endured and will continue to endure are all a result of the fall, all a result of sin. We people say, well, you know, how can a good God, you know, and gracious God allow these horrible things to happen? Well, the answer is he ordained that to happen, again, to show he put his glory on display. But you must realize that this is all part of the curse because of sin. And what we need to look at is the good news of the gospel that provides a way for we as sinful human beings to be reconciled to our holy God and to be saved from the power, the penalty, and eventually the very presence of sin. And rather than putting God on trial and demanding an answer and coming up with all reasons to blame him, why not blame Satan, you know? Why not blame our own evil hearts and our own sinfulness? And so it's a matter of turning this around and looking at it from a different perspective. But again, we have to come back to the reality of God being a sovereign God. And there's no plan B with him. There's nothing that escapes his will, his decree, the things that he allows. In fact, one of the things, Chris, that we haven't looked at, it came to my mind, is that great passage in Romans 9:22-24, where we have a glimpse here into an explanation, and that's three reasons that God gives for ordaining to allow evil to exist in his perfect universe. That text says, what if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among Gentiles. And so the three reasons that he gives is to demonstrate his wrath, to make his power known, and to make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy. And when you stop and think about it, how would we have ever seen the glory of God and his holiness had he not poured out his wrath upon our Savior? He does these things because he is an infinitely holy God, and he's going to put his glory on display even in his wrath. In fact, Paul went on, and actually before in that passage, he gives the example of Pharaoh. And at the end of verse 17, it says, for this purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. And so again, he through his wrath, we see him being glorified, and there's going to be great joy one day when God finally puts to rest all of the wrath against the sons of disobedience. Where is that in Ephesians 5 somewhere? It speaks about the wrath of God that comes upon the sons of disobedience. And what great joy there will be when sin and Satan and death are all defeated and it's all vanquished forever. But he also says that he does this to make his power known. And of course, there's the great illustration in Exodus 14. You remember the story of the pursuing Egyptian chariots and the horsemen and being drowned in the water and so forth. And in that text, in verses 30 and 31, it says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And it's interesting, too, he speaks back to verse 22 in light of his wrath being reserved for, quote, vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. Really fascinating phrase. It's important to remember, again, in this context, that while it's true that God has ordained sin to be in the world, it's equally true that man is the one who voluntarily chooses to act wickedly. So the blame can't be placed upon God, but it is placed on man. And we see that in this verse, in the exegesis of it, in the Greek verb katartizo. Here it's rendered prepared in verse 22. In grammatically, we see that this verb is in what we call the passive voice, which means God is not the subject doing the preparing, but rather it is the willful disobedience of sinful man. And so all who refuse to embrace his gift of grace through faith are responsible for their own rebellion, and they are therefore preparing themselves for the wrath to come. Whereas all who cry out for mercy are going to receive it, and those who reject it will be judged, and therefore they're described as, quote, vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. And then finally, he also says that he does this, allows evil to make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy, in verse 23 of Romans 9. And he says, which he prepared beforehand for glory, even as whom he has also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among the Gentiles. And so here again, we see that by allowing sin and evil into the world, God provides an opportunity to bring glory to himself through his wrath, his power, and through the redemption of his people. And I can't think, frankly, of a more humbling and spiritually motivating truth than this, that our salvation was all part of his sovereign plan to glorify himself. And it was decreed, it was in eternity past. Ephesians 1 speaks about that. And to know that somehow we are part of this glorious plan of redemption to ultimately bring glory to himself, it's mind-boggling to me. And to know that even in the midst of all of that, he is ordained to allow evil and bad things in the world to demonstrate his glory in these various ways, even though I know and I understand all those things, still in my humanness, I struggle with it. You know, when I've got a son right now struggling with cancer, and yet my son will be the first, if he was here right now, he would tell you that I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm praying that this will go away, but I am confident that he's up to glorious things in my life and in the lives of others, and I trust him completely. Even if he takes me home, I will trust him and rejoice knowing that he is a good and a glorious and a loving God. And the only way my son and other people like him can say those things is because of the transforming power of regenerating grace in the life of a believer. And also by looking at Scripture and seeing these great truths and embracing them with all of your heart. So just a little example there.
Amen. Hallelujah. We have Claudio or Claudio. I know it's pronounced a couple of different ways. Claudio in the Bronx, New York, who says, I know it is true that God determines the number of our days on earth himself, but at the same time, how do you respond to those who disagree with this notion of his sovereignty by saying things like, people who are smokers hasten their own death when they never give up smoking, and people who are drug addicts hasten their own death by continuing in their addiction, and on we could go of how people may hasten their own deaths. How could God be in control over the number of days we live when this seems to be an obvious medical fact?
Right. And, you know, there's only two ways to answer that. One is to say, well, you know what? God really isn't in control of all of this. He's really not all that sovereign. And man has a way of overriding God's will. And so ultimately, God is a helpless deity that has to respond to the will of man. So you either have to respond to it that way, or you have to say, God was so sovereign even over the fact that this guy, through his smoking and probably other vices, caused him to have what we might call a premature death, meaning that he died sooner than most people in his age would do. And I would simply agree with the latter, that God knew that he had ordained all of that to happen as well. Look, every one of us are going to die. We don't know when. I mean, that's part of the curse, and therefore we all need to be ready. But God has ordained even the number of our days. None of this sneaks up on him. You either have to answer it that way, based on what the scriptures teach, or you have to conclude that God really isn't all that sovereign, and that there's a lot of random things going on in the world that he has no control over, and we just better hope for the best.
Yes, and I'd like you to go through some ways where, as a pastor, not that I'm asking you to name people that you've counseled and so on, obviously, but this subject must come home and have the rubber meet the road on a regular basis with you as a pastor, because unlike most of us who, when we are dealing with problems like this and facing challenges like this, it's very often confined to a specific circle of people in our own family. But you are dealing as an under shepherd in a flock of believers. You're dealing with multiple families. If you could tell us how this worldview and this theology has helped you counsel and encourage and comfort people in God's church.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll tell you what I have found. Those who have what I would call a robust Reformed soteriology, who have been taught what the scriptures teach regarding these things, you know, especially the sovereignty of God, even the inscrutable mystery between God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, and trust in God to work those things out. And people who have been taught just simply do not struggle with these things like those who have not been taught. Those who have come out of either a very weak Christian background, and they're still in many ways babes in Christ, and they have a poor understanding, a lack of theological acumen when it comes to these things. Those are the ones that really struggle, and they are typically the ones who will either attack God or try to rescue God. Most of the time they will attack him, you know, why this isn't fair. And, you know, all of those things. And that's why it's so important to have your theology right before these things happen. Not if they happen, it's with when. I mean, you need to understand, for example, you need to understand Romans 9, before these things happen, and so many other passages. And then you've got a foundation that you stand upon. I'll give you an example, because I've used this publicly, and I know my sister wouldn't mind. The very last, my sister struggled with breast cancer for 5 years. And at the end, I finally had to pick her up and put her in the car, rush her to Vanderbilt University Medical Center. And they put the mask, because the cancer went into her lungs and she was having a hard time gasping for air. And they put the mask on her, and we could see through the mask because it was clear. We could see her smiling, and we could hear her as she talked. And And they had her on the full oxygen, and they were saying that there's just not much more we can do here. And I remember her saying with a big smile, they said, you are approaching the end. And her response is, no, I'm approaching the beginning, because I know that God is in this and I belong to Christ. And if it's his will for me to go on home to glory, that I'm rejoicing in that, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember the doctors and the nurses in there, they were just almost in disbelief that that was her response. And so the reason why she would have that response is not only because of the transforming power of the gospel, but because she had been taught and she embraced the great truths of sovereign grace, the great truths of the Reformed faith, if you will. And yet I have seen just the opposite in those that have come out of other backgrounds, where they're just not sure about God being in control of things, and after all, I'm in control of this, and I've got a free will, and you know, he just kind of lets things happen and just responds to. I mean, you get all these weird things that people come up with, and I've seen a very, very different response with them and their families, and when they're in the midst of the crisis, that's not necessarily the time to teach them theology. At that point, you just love them and pray for them and you know, all of the things that you can do to comfort them. By no means is that time to, you know, to pull out this book on God, evil, and suffering and say, here, read this.
Like Job's so-called friends.
Yeah, right. A lot of good they did. Yeah.
And we do have Lloyd in Rochester, New York, who asks, I know that you've written a booklet on this. Are there any other books from history going back to centuries ago to our present day that you could recommend on this issue? Yeah, I already did earlier when I recommended Surprised by Suffering by R.C. Sproul. And also,
that's a great one, yeah.
And also Trusting God Even When Life Hurts by Jerry Bridges. But do you have any other that you'd like to?
I'd have to do a little research on that. I know MacArthur has written one. It's a small, almost booklet, Why Does God Allow So Much Suffering? That is worth having. It's even smaller than the book that I've written here. But I apologize. I don't have anything at the tip of my tongue.
Well, Banner of Truth has a book by Sinclair Ferguson, one of the greatest preachers alive.
Yes.
Deserted by God is a book, and you can never go wrong with Sinclair Ferguson.
Right.
They have a book, Majesty in Misery, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, which you can't go wrong with him either.
Right.
And if you go to banneroftruth.org, and you type in suffering in the search engine, you will see listed a whole bunch of stuff by both saints of the past and living authors. We have Suffering, God's Purpose in Our Pain by Paul D. Wolfe, who I believe is a cancer survivor. I think he survived a brain cancer, if I'm not mistaken. And John Flavel has a work, Preparation for Sufferings, Preparations, plural, for Sufferings. So I could go on and on with the Banner of Truth. And so bannertruth.org, I would recommend that you look that up, listener, and thank you for submitting that question. And we have to go to our final break right now. And once again, if you have a question, I would ask of you to submit it immediately, because we are rapidly running out of time. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired Word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in His sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery,
built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
And folks, as you may have heard, if you listen regularly, I have asked for prayer, continued prayer, for Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, who you just heard being promoted in that commercial. He is still in a physical rehab facility after having a fall in his home several months ago. After being hospitalized, he was transferred to a physical rehab facility, and unfortunately, he is still there. He does seem to be making improvement. The Lord has given him, in a perfect reflection of our conversation today, a joyful spirit, even though he misses being at home with his wife deeply, misses being behind his pulpit deeply. And we miss him here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio deeply, as having him as our guest frequently, and we hope to have him back soon. But please continue to pray for the full physical recovery of Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, and that it may be a speedy recovery, and that he may return to his wife soon and to his pulpit soon and to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio soon. So keep him in prayer. RJ in White Plains, New York says, I think you're absolutely right that people with poor theology who are being misled and misguided by those that are not fully equipped in the scriptures to be leading congregations, and they're arriving at horrible, unbiblical, and even heretical conclusions about this topic. But at the same time, I'm loving listening to this program, because even those of us who are believers in the sovereign control of God over all things, we need to be reminded of these truths over and over again, just like Christians even need to be reminded of the gospel. Yeah, that's totally true. And I could say that about myself, being one who sadly is prone to anxiety.
Even though
I am a thoroughgoing 5-point Calvinist.
I hear you. Well, it is the testimony of Scripture that our God is a sovereign God, not a contingent God. And we rejoice in that. And we want to be careful in teaching these things to people that have frankly never heard them. You know, there's nothing more dangerous than an Arminian that's just suddenly understood the doctrines of grace, and he's cramming tulips down everybody's throat, you know.
Right.
And so we got to be careful. But by the way, before I forget it, I hope this isn't being presumptuous, but I just finished the manuscript of a new devotional book. It will be called Grace and Glory. We're not sure of the subtitle yet. Shepherd's Press is putting it out. It'll be out probably September, October, somewhere in there. But it will have a lot. It's an expositional devotional book, and it will have a lot of these themes in it kind of woven throughout, because it's so common for people to struggle with great difficulties in their life and just wondering, where is God in the midst of all of this?
Well, definitely so have to have you back on the program.
Yeah, well, whatever. But I'm looking forward to that coming out.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to interviewing you on it if you are interested in returning to discuss that. I would like you to take at least 4 minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about our topic. Oh, our guest, you froze there for a minute, but you're back. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I lost your connection. You asked me to summarize something.
Summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Oh, I would say the bottom line is to understand.
And folks, it may be the weather outside, but my guest has frozen and he...
Worship.
Yeah, you're back, brother. I don't know. I think it's... We have a storm going on outside that may have something to do with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think in summary, I hope as you contemplate the infinite perfections of our glorious God, especially as it relates to his sovereignty, that you will just be humbled by it. And that this will not so much produce a sense of, oh, okay, now I've kind of got the answers here biblically, but rather it will just humble us all to a place of just breathless adoration, just humble worship before the Lord and celebrating his grace in our life, because he is a God that's beyond anything that we can imagine. And that should just produce worship and joy in us and also animate our hearts to evangelism, that we might share the good news of the gospel, that people would come to a saving knowledge of Christ and worship him with us.
Amen. Well, folks, I do not want you to forget, if you're a man in ministry leadership, pastor, elder, deacon, leader in a parachurch organization, a businessman making a firm stand for Christ in the workplace, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Trip and Zion Radio Pastors Luncheon featuring my guest, David A. Harrell. And as I said earlier, this event is absolutely free of charge, as they always are. And not only is it free to gain admission to the event, but every man will receive a heavy sack of free brand new books, possibly even two heavy sacks, that have been specifically selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. That's all available to you absolutely free if you register and attend for this free event. And that is going to be held Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And this actual church is in Perry County, Pennsylvania, South Central Pennsylvania. We typically have people coming from all over the Northeast, but even coming from sometimes South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee. We had a pastor from Texas one time make the drive all the way when we had Conrad Mbewe as our keynote speaker. And, of course, we've had folks from New York State and Connecticut and New Jersey and Maryland and New Hampshire and Maine. So if you can possibly get out there, it'll be a memorable event, I assure you. And the free books that you'll get are well worth the trip alone. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com if you'd like to register for this free event. Give me your full name, the full name of your church or parachurch ministry and its location, and also the number of men who will be joining you at this event. That's Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. I also want to remind you of the websites pertinent to my guest today. First of all, Calvary Bible Church of Jolton, Tennessee can be found at cbc cbctn.org, cbctn.org. And if you'd like to find out more about the publications that my guest has written, you can go to shepherdsfire.org, shepherdsfire.org. And please don't forget, folks, of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio's need for your financial support, perhaps now more than ever. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Harrell, for being such an extraordinary guest. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.